here today that the Lord will bless you greatly. The month of June is our Power in Family month. We have been promoting family in God, coming together as a family, walking with God as a family, and understanding the importance of having God as the focal point, the center point of all of our families, and He be there to help us and walk us through our difficulties. And there are a lot of discouraged people today because they do not understand that difficult things happen to God's kids as well. Just because we live for the Lord doesn't mean that we are excluded from tragedy. Tragedy comes to God's kids. I've got parents here today who have lost children that are no longer with us, going to be with the Lord, to be with the Lord, to be with the Lord. Families, and financial situations. But the beauty about it is when God is the focal point, when He is the center of the family, He can carry us through. He can hold our families together. They don't fall apart. They stay together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, I want to talk to us today for a few minutes concerning a family's journey in God, a family's journey with the Lord. I meant to have all of our kids and stuff sit with moms and dads today, but it would be mass confusion right now, so forgive me for that. You can remain where you are, but every family has a journey in God. And we have got to be willing to make that journey. And the Lord Jesus has our family in a destiny, on a path. And I want God to fulfill everything in my family that He desires to be fulfilled in my family. Can you say amen? Amen. And when we say family, it might be mom, dad, and 19 kids, or mom and dad and 2 kids, or it might be mom and kids, it might be dad and kids. You might be a single adult. Family units are made up of all different variables and combinations, but we are all a family in one way or another. Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get you out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house to a land I will show you. So in Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 1, God starts a family on a journey. It's a journey in God. And I believe that we can find our families in this journey if we'll walk this journey with Abraham. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I ask for your anointing today. I ask you to anoint this vessel. Help me to speak into the minds and the hearts of these precious families that are in the house of God. I am praying that the Spirit says what I cannot, and that the Spirit does what I am unable. Holy Ghost, move across this congregation. Touch every mind, every heart, every spirit. Let our ears be anointed to hear, our minds to understand. Let our heart become fertile ground to receive the seed of the Word of God. Oh, Father, change us today. Set us on a new path. Set our families on a new destiny. Call us out, oh God. Use us, Lord. It is our prayer in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And before you're seated, will you love Him for just a moment in your own way? Will you love Him? Jesus, we praise you. We magnify you. We need you today. Have your way in our service, Lord, in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. And someone say with me, my family is on a journey. One of the most important things that we need to understand is that our families have been called out. Everybody say, my family has been called out. Say, I'm not normal. Come on, say it with, say, I don't blend in. Say, I stick out. Come on, somebody. We don't blend in with the world. When God gets in the middle of your family, it doesn't blend in. I'm sorry. You're odd. You're peculiar. You're different. The things you love are different. The places you go are different. The way you talk is different. The way you act is different. Everything about a called out family is different than this world. You ought to be excited about that. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I'm going to tell you the priority of the Kyle family, and that is to give praise to Jesus Christ. Praise not only with our lips, but with our actions. And everywhere we go, I want the world to know when my family shows up, Jesus is in the middle of this family. Woo! Oh, hallelujah. Somebody shout, I'm called out. Shout, my family's called out. So the first thing we need to understand is that God calls us out. He might have started with one of you, but he used that one to get another brother, another sister, maybe a mother and a father. And if your whole family's not in, he's not done with you. He's going to use you, keep working on you. He wants everybody in the house of God. He wants our family in the house of the Lord. And so the journey begins. The Lord speaks into the heart of Abraham. He takes his wife, Sarai, at the time not Sarah, because has not given birth to Isaac, and they begin a beautiful journey. This journey, we must understand as families, is a journey of faith. You see, we do not know what our tomorrows hold, but we do know who holds our tomorrow. Oh, I wish that to get a hold of some of you. Come on, hear the preacher today. Hear your pastor today. Woo, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Why do I need to get a hold of that, pastor? Because some of us have had some incredible, difficult things take place in our families. Maybe division between husband and wife, division between parents and child, and we can't quite figure it all out. I don't know what my tomorrow holds, but I know who holds my tomorrow. And I put the trust of my family in my mighty God, Lord, and Savior, Jesus Christ. I know that he loves me. I know he loves my wife. I know he loves my children. And if he loves all of us when we come together, then he loves us all together. And God has a plan for your family. God has a plan for you. God has a destiny for you. I think it's amazing that in the very beginning of this journey, the revelation that Abraham had, incredible. We begin to read into the Word of God, Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 7. Abraham has just started out on this journey. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your seed will I give this land. And there built he an altar. Everybody say, he built an altar. To the Lord who appeared to him, verse number 8, and he removed from there to a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east, and there what? Built an altar, and he called the name, and he called on the name of the Lord. And Abraham journeyed, going on still southward. And if you continue to read that chapter, the verses say, and he built an altar. In fact, what you will find is that every time Abraham moved, wherever he landed, the first thing he did was built an altar, because Abraham had a revelation. I can't make this journey without God. I can't make this journey without hearing from God. Oh, come on, families of Tabernacle of Pentecost. We need to get this revelation. It's God that started us on this journey. It's God that knows where we're going. It's God that knows what we're going to have to face. It's God that understands your trials. It's God that knows your dilemmas. It's God that knows your uncertainties. And if God knows all of that, and if God's already been where I'm going, then the best thing I can do is get my family together, get in the presence of God, and begin to talk to the one that knows the path and the journey. Somebody shall build an altar. Shall build an altar. Shall build an altar. Shall build an altar. Somebody help the preacher today. We all know it's true. One of the greatest things that we're missing is a family altar. Daddy prays, mama prays, the kids pray. But how often do we come together and pray together as a family and build a family altar? I want to tell you, friend, when the family learns how to pray, there's no devil in hell that's going to tear your kids away. There's no devil in hell that's going to divide mom and dad. Whatever comes may, whatever happens, however hard, however difficult, I want God in the middle of my family. We're all lacking that, including pastor. We get busy. Our kids grow up. Next thing you know, it used to be everywhere as they went, mom and dad had to bring them. Next thing you know, they're going on their own. You got to call and find out, are they there? Of course, mama trained hers. Hers do the calling. You get where you're going, you better call. If you're going to be late, you're not going to be home by midnight. That's for Caleb, not the youngins. Caleb's 23. We jumped him from 9 to 10 to 11, and now we give him midnight. But if he ain't home at midnight, 23 years old, he better pick up that phone and he better call mama. Because one thing for sure, he knows what's going to happen. I don't know where he's at. He's somewhere over there, maybe. Oh, there he is. He knows one thing's for sure. If he don't call, the phone will ring on his end. And she don't care where he's at or what he's doing. What are you doing, boy? Why didn't you call me? You still live under my roof. I still wash your underwear. You're going to tell me where you're going? You're going to tell me what you're doing until you get out on your own, your mind, and that's the way it's always going to be. It's called family. Come on, somebody. It's called family. You say, well, I don't want to get up in their business. You better get up in their business, because the devil's going to get up in their business. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. And he's not going to be timid about it. Come on, mom. Come on, dad. Let's get up in it. Let's bring Jesus into the middle of it. We need to reestablish our family altars. Somebody say altar. Somebody say family altar. I tell you what a family altar does. It brings cohesiveness in the family. I probably missed a couple of syllables there, but. Stick-to-itiveness. How's that? That's a word. I didn't think it was, but it is. Stick-to-itiveness. Ain't that a cool word, stick-to-itiveness? That's so cool. It brings a cohesiveness. Because if you don't have a family altar, your son might be going through something, you'll never know it. Your daughter's going through something, you'll never know it. Your wife's going through something, you'll never know it. Your husband's going through something, you'll never know it. Everybody's praying in their own corner, but nobody ever comes together to pray. But there's something about the family altar. When everything comes together, God begins to reveal. God begins to show. And now everybody can pray for the boy. Everybody can pray for the daughter. Everybody can pray for mom. Everybody can pray for dad. And it brings a strength.
that when the family breaks up and this one goes to school and that one goes to work and this one goes here and that one goes there, there's something about family prayer that no matter how far they get, there's an elastic spiritual attachment that's got a way of bringing them back into the center, and it's called Jesus Christ. Oh, Abraham, thank you for the revelation that wherever you go, whatever you do, the first thing you got to do is build an altar. Especially as we see the Lord change things in our lives, going in a different direction, doing a different thing, calling us to a different place, build an altar. And Abraham journeyed south, and when he got there, he built an altar. He built an altar. Genesis 13 and 4 tells us that Abraham returned to this altar one day. I want to tell you something, that even though we have family altars, we're going to mess up. Dads aren't perfect. Moms are not perfect. And Pastor taught a couple of weeks ago, we have to understand that our children are not perfect. No one in our family is perfect. Mistakes are going to be made. Things are going to go wrong. We're going to say the wrong thing. We're going to do the wrong thing. And sometimes we're going to go to the wrong place. And sometimes it's going to be bad, and sometimes not so bad. Sometimes it might bring a little shame. Sometimes it might not. Sometimes it might bring embarrassment. Sometimes it may not. Sometimes it could be huge. Sometimes it could be little. We don't know. But this much we do know, we're going to mess up. We're all going to mess up. Everybody's going to drop the ball. Everybody's going to say the wrong thing. Everyone's going to do the wrong thing. And sometimes everyone's going to be in the wrong place. But this is the power of a family altar. The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis chapter 12 verses 10 through 20. And then in the first few verses of chapter 13, that Abraham went to the wrong place. Abraham did the wrong thing and Abraham said the wrong thing. He got him and his wife in all kind of trouble, and God had to step in and deliver him out. But you know what Abraham did when he came out from that mess, when he realized he said the wrong thing, did the wrong thing, went to the wrong place, he handled everything wrong, he was still on a journey with God. That's one thing he had not forgotten. You know what Abraham did? Chapter 13 and verse 4 tells us, Abraham got his wife by the hand, and he went back to the altar that he had built from the very beginning. And there Abraham called upon God. Abraham had that revelation. That's why we got to have family altars. When things go wrong, don't condemn the children. When things go wrong, don't condemn your wife. When things go wrong, don't condemn your husband. Get them by the hand. Get back to the altar. Get back on your knees. See what God will do. See how God will deliver. See how God will put things back. Oh, I wish more of you out there would believe this. No wonder I'm counseling your marriages. No wonder I'm counseling your children. I wish you'd let God know you believe what this preacher is preaching. You say, well, I do believe it. Then respond. That's how he knows. That's called human nature. When we believe something, we respond to it. You don't believe family altars are important? Study the life of Saul. 1 Chronicles chapter 13 and verse number 3. Children of Israel, this was after the death of Saul. Children of Israel get together and they said, let us bring again the ark of our God. Let us bring again the ark, the presence. It's what the ark represented, the presence of God. Let us bring again the presence of God to us. And what damning words in the last part of this verse. For we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. In fact, when you study the scripture, only one time in the life of Saul's reign did he ever require where the ark of God was. And it was when they were in a battle and it looked like they didn't have a single chance to win. So Saul said, why don't you get the ark? We'll put the ark in battle. That'll make everything all right. But he didn't fix anything because it wasn't Saul's ark. Saul had never made it his ark. He had never made it his personal connection to God. He had never made the ark of God his place where he walked in to the presence of the Almighty God. And because Saul never had a family altar. 1 Samuel 31 and 1 tells us, now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines, fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons. And the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishah, Saul's sons. This is the ending when you don't have a family altar. When we don't learn to bring us together, when we don't learn to pray together, the devil can pick them off one by one. The devil can tear your marriage apart. The devil can pick your children off. The devil can get them involved in things they should have never been in. Come on, Pentecostals of the Palm Beaches, it's family month. This is the time we stand up and we say, devil, things are going to change in our house. Things are going to be different. We're going to build an altar. We're going to call on God. We're going to get a hold of the Spirit. Oh, clap your hands to the Lord and give God praise. Somebody say altar. Look at your neighbor and say, build a family altar. Look at someone behind you, build a family altar. Tell somebody else, build a family altar. Build a family altar. Well, I just got married. Hey, Abraham only had little Sarai for just a few days. God called them out, and the first thing he did was build an altar. Come on, Sarai, we got to pray. We got to make this a habit. Maybe you're a new married couple. I don't want to pick on you, Rayshawn and Tamika, but I will anyway. Brand new married, only married a couple of weeks. I'm going to, pastor's going to encourage you. Build a family altar. When you get up in the morning and you're both fixing to go to work, don't walk out the door till you hold hands and you get on. It don't have to be an hour. It can be 30 seconds. It can be 2 minutes. It don't have to be long. But you just get together with God and you say, God bless my wife. And the wife says, God bless my husband. Hold us together. Help us, oh God, not to be led into temptation. Keep us strong to you and strong with one another. Build an altar right now. And if you'll get in the habit, when the young one comes along, you'll bring the young one to the altar. When the next one comes along, you'll bring that one to the altar. Oh my Lord, what a powerhouse. What a powerhouse. A family that's put God in the middle. A powerhouse. A family that's put God in the middle. There's going to be difficult times. All of our families are going to face them. Some of us have married into difficult times. You know, when you marry everybody. You don't just marry the girl, marry the husband, the man. You marry their family. You marry everything about them. So first of all, be careful who you marry. That's why we say marry in the church. So you don't have to worry about a bunch of drinking and cussing and dancing and flooring and whore and all the men. I'm talking to you young people. Look at me. You're the ones that ain't married. I can't help the ones already married. You done did it. You got to live with it. Amen. You got to be careful who you marry, because you marry the family. You bring the families together. You make them one. So we need to be careful who we marry. Can you say amen? I know it gets quiet on that because we've all married out of church. You didn't listen to me. You didn't listen to the pastor before you. I'm just letting it sink in a little bit. And then I got to deal with all your mess because you didn't obey God from the beginning. Oh, wow, that's really good. That's really powerful. But I got good news for you. You can start a family altar right now. Even if your husband isn't saved, you can start your own altar. I guarantee you, if you ask him to pray, he'll kneel down with you for just a minute. Now, dear God in heaven, if he kneeled down, don't throw your hand up. Try to cast the devil out of him. Why don't you gently bring him into the presence of God? Or even your children that may have gone astray. Don't try to rip their throat out of their neck. Gently bring them back into the presence of God. You don't have a family altar. You're married to someone that's lost. Get on your knees and just ask your husband, baby, for 10 seconds. Ask your wife for a few seconds. And all you say is, Lord, I love you. I love my spouse. Bless him. Bless her. And thank you for this wonderful day. Amen. That's where it begins. And then I'll tell you what will happen. One day you're going to be nail praying and you're going to go to get up and your husband or your wife's going to say, wait, I got something we need to pray about. I got something we need to bring to the table. Something we need to bring to the altar. And then maybe one of your children are going to say, I'm having trouble in school. There's a bully. There's this guy. He's always running the touch me mom. There's this situation. And they're going to bring it to the altar. And everybody's going to pray. And God's going to be glorified. And miracles are going to happen. And the family's going to be saved. Because you build a family altar. Trouble's going to come. There's going to be battles. Oh, yeah. There's going to be battles. Because we, as spouses, come from such diverse backgrounds. As we continue on this journey, things are going to come up that we want to worry about. Maybe even your spouse forgot about it. Who knows? Things begin to come up and the battle begins. Things with the kids and situations happen. Genesis 14 and 14, the Bible says, and when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he got his men together and they went to battle. But I'm going to tell you the beauty about having a family altar. You see, verse 18 of that same chapter is what finishes this off. Abraham goes out to battle. God's there. He recoups his brother. He recoups all that was lost. He delivers them from the hands of the enemy. And on his way back, in verse 18, a man from God. Some even say that he was a theophany of God himself, because the Bible says no beginning or end with this man. Verse 18 says, and Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. What are you saying, Pastor? What I'm telling you is when we have family altars, God is going to be in the middle of our troubles. I'm not telling you that we're not going to have trouble. I'm telling you, God is going to meet you in the middle of your trouble. And when everything seems lost, when everything seems hopeless, when everything seems impossible, God is going to show up and say, wait a minute, devil, this is my family. Wait a minute, devil, this is my family. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to fight the battle. I'm going to fix this. Oh, thank you, Abraham. Thank you, Abraham. Come on, we're on a family journey with God. We're on a family journey. It's not just your journey. It's a family journey. If your spouse is lost, this still isn't just your journey. Sister Jarrett, what would have happened if you wouldn't have drug that man to church every Sunday with you? Huh? I'm just messing with you, Brother Jarrett, but it's true. Get ready to go to church. Go into the house of God. And Brother Jarrett says, I don't think I'm going to go today. Well, why not? Well, I think I'm just going to peddle around the house. I don't think so. Well, maybe I should have chose a girl. Come here. Looks a little funny. Yeah, I better take my daughter. Here we go. I guess I'm going to take my wife. Anyway, it doesn't matter. We're going to go to the house of God. Why? Because Sister Jared understood something. This isn't my journey. This is a family journey. And I might be the only one living for God in my family, but this isn't just my journey. It's still a family journey. Man, the Lord may have to show me how to save my children, and the Lord may have to help me save my husband. And God filled him with the Holy Ghost a few weeks ago. Hallelujah. Baptized in Jesus' name. God did it. Because somebody made up their mind, this isn't just my journey. It's a family journey. And even if I go to the church of God by myself, when I go to the altar, I'm still bringing my spouse. I'm still bringing my children. I'm bringing everybody to the altar with me, whether they're present or not. When I stand before God, I'm saying, God, my whole family is here. I'm believing you to save them. You have a family altar. God's going to show up in your troubles. He's going to show up in your difficulties. He's going to show up in your sickness. He's going to show up in your kids' life when they're having trouble in school, trouble in the neighborhood, trouble on the job. God's going to show up. Why? Because you made it a family journey with God. Had the promise on this family journey of faith that God is going to be with us. Genesis 15 and 1, the word of the Lord says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am your shield, and I am your exceeding great reward. Don't worry about anything, Abraham. But God, can't you? Don't worry about it. But Lord, don't you see it? Don't worry about it. But God, everything's falling apart. Don't worry about it. But I'm about to lose my house. Don't worry about it. I'm being evicted. Don't worry about it. I got my eye on your family. You made it a family journey. I'm going to take care of you. And when I move you out of that house and I give you a better house and a better neighborhood and a better place, the first thing you better do is build a family altar. No matter where Abraham went, he built an altar. He said, I'm going to be your exceeding great reward. Took Abraham, he brought him forth broad and said, look now towards the heaven. He said, look up. He said, look at the stars. Can you count them? No. He said, I'm going to make it your seed. I'm going to bless you, Abraham. I'm going to bless your wife. I'm going to bless your children. Why? Because I made this a family journey. I've come to encourage someone here today. I know there's bad situations. I know there's difficulties. There's all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of situations. But I'm here to tell you, when you create a family altar and you begin to pray with the best of your ability as a family, it may not all come together at first. That's okay. Do what you can, but do everything you can. And when you do it, God said, I'm going to start blessing you. I'm going to pour out blessings. I'm going to bless your children. I'm going to bless your marriage. If you're a single mom, I'm going to make sure you're taken care of. If you're a single dad, I'm going to make sure your kids are taken care of. If you're a single young adult, I'm going to raise you up. I'm going to give you a family, and I'm going to bless them. A family journey with God. Somebody give praise to the Lord. Let's everybody worship the Lord for a moment, please. Hallelujah. Somebody cry out family altar. Cry out family journey. I love Abraham. He built an altar. Fowls came. Buzzards came. Abraham, he said, I don't think so, man. I wish I had something I could swing around here a little bit. He said, I don't think so. He said, get away, you old buzzards. Get away, you old crows. Get away. You're not getting my altar. You're not getting my sacrifice. No way. I built this for my family. I built this for my children. I built this. You're not getting the devil. I command you in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you. Hallelujah. Oh, I wish somebody would stand on their feet and start waving at the buzzards. Wave at the crows. Get away. You're not getting my kids. You're not getting my marriage. Hallelujah. Be seated for just a little while longer. You know, y'all got one thing going for you. Pastor just can't go that long. I'm trying. I got another hour, but I ain't got 3 minutes left for me. Everybody say it's a long journey. Yeah. It's a long journey. A lot of things happen. A lot of things can go wrong. But if you have a family altar, somehow you can hold it together. Whew. I must really be tired. I cannot get your name second in command usher out of my mouth. Brother Molina, I just called you by your name today. I know who he is, dear Lord God in heaven. I'm getting old. Brother and sister Molina, things get tough sometimes. When you're married to a spouse, and they lose their dad or their mom, it's a hard place. Especially if they were close. I didn't hardly know my dad. When he died, I showed up. Kind of looked at him. Put him in the ground. But when my wife lost her father, oh, that was a different story. In fact, I'll tell you, when I freaked out, I didn't even know my grandparents. I met one grandparent 2 times, and that's because my wife brought me. We went down, had a talk with him. Grandpa Kyle. He's a pretty cool old fella. Whistled all the time. Lived a ripe old life. Outlived 3 wives. Finally, he died. Was his 3rd wife alive when he died? She killed him, probably. She got suspicious. I didn't even know my grandparents. So I didn't think much of it. My wife's, she's not there. I get a phone call from my mom. Mom's crying. And she says, is Elizabeth there? I said, no. She said, well, could you tell her that they found her grandmother Ophelia dead today? I said, sure. That mean nothing to me. I never knew my grandparents. I only met her grandmother 1 time. At that time, she's mean. She's mean. My wife did it to me. She had, her couch was dirty. So my wife sat down, and my wife said, "Here, baby, sit on my lap. Don't sit on the couch. It's dirty." I sat on her lap, and Ophelia, Grandma Ophelia, started chewing me out like I was a... I don't want to use the words. I'm like, this woman's mean. Just an old hillbilly. I don't know what you call a female hillbilly. Hillbillious? I don't know. So my wife finally, she comes home. I don't mean to be callous. I just don't have any feelings in that area. And I said, "Hey, baby, I got a phone call from your mother and your grandmother, Ophelia. She passed away today." My wife physically collapsed instantly, hit the floor, and began to scream and wail before God. And I went, "Oh, my God, baby, I didn't say your mother. I said your grandmother, the old mean lady." But I didn't understand that relationship. And I want to tell you, we face hard times as families. Lose loved ones, sometimes a child. I can't imagine. I cannot imagine. For the parents that are in this place here today that you've lost one of your children, that literally cannot enter my mind. I wouldn't know how I could live if I lost a child. And I know you felt the same way. But because it was a family journey, God had a way of showing up. And I love this verse. It says, "And Melchizedek came, and he brought a little bread, and he brought a little wine." I know you're going through a hard time, Abraham, but here's a little of God's Spirit, and here's a little of God's Word. I've come to strengthen you. I've come to give you a little bread, and I come to give you a little wine. And there's something about it when you got that family altar, and hard times come, and difficult things happen, things that are unimaginable to the mind, and you don't imagine how you can possibly handle it. God has a way of sending somebody with a little word, sending somebody with a little wine, and God's got a way of strengthening, and God's got a way of blessing and putting joy where there was sorrow. When it's a family journey, we bring everybody together. When it's a family journey, when they hurt, I hurt. When she hurts, I hurt. When he hurts, I hurt. We laugh together. We cry together. We rejoice together. We share together. It's a family journey in God. Let's stand to our feet and clap our hands to the Lord and give God praise. Hallelujah! Music, if you'll come. We're going to come down as a family. In fact, let's start that. It's only 1 o'clock. I know this is going to be mass chaos, but if your mom and dad's here, find them. Family, if you're here and you don't have family at all, then attach yourself to someone that you know in the church. We're family. And I wasn't necessarily speaking on that today, but... And if you're a guest, please join us. You don't have to, but I'm certainly telling you, you're welcome to come. I would hope that no one would remain in the pews. Get your spouse. Get your children. Squeeze into the altar. Come up close because others are coming. They're not going to be able to get in. Don't clog up this area right here. Go to the right or the left if you don't mind. Don't clog up that area. The same over here. Don't clog it up. Thank you so much. While you're coming, I've got so much more here. I know God has given me. I hate to touch on it. I'd like to really be able to minister it, but seems like when that moment's gone, it's just gone. We all know what happened. Abraham goes to Hagar. Hagar has a child, Ishmael. Becomes a difficult time. But I want to focus in on something concerning this. Sarah finally becomes pregnant. Isaac's in her womb. Squeeze up just a little bit right here if you don't mind. There's people behind you. Thank you. Thank y'all so much. You're such wonderful people. Thank you. Kind of open up right here. I want everybody in the altar if we can. Just right here. John, just kind of go to the right or the left. Just kind of open that up. Just Red Sea split here. There you go. Red Sea split. Thank you. On the right side is the Hittites. On the left side are the Kenites. No, we're all Canaanites. Amen. Wait a minute. Israelites. Yeah. Canaan's where they were going. We're all Israelites. So Sarah's pregnant. I want to show you something. So I want you to pay attention. I want you to see the end result of a family journey with God. I didn't even get on the kids. Sarah has a baby. Bible says she looks up one day and she sees Ishmael mocking Isaac. And she goes to Abraham. She says, you get that woman and you get that child. You get them out of here. Now, at first, we think that's a mean thing. Honey, that's just mom protecting what God has given her. She saw the potential of that child born in sin to destroy what God had given them. And she said, get it out. Dad goes out. I know today we both do the breadwinning thing, but just follow along. You know what I'm saying. Dad goes out, works, brings home the bacon. Mom cares for that home. Mom, even though you work, you still care for that home. That's two jobs. And if you hold two jobs, you got three. You care for that home. You watch. Sometimes dad's oblivious, but mom steps up and says, whoa, not happening. Johnny will say, Dad, can I go over to Jack's house? And sure, go have a good time. Mom says, whoa, I know Jack. I know his family. I'm sorry. We'll pray for him. We'll love him. We'll try to get him in church, but you ain't spending a night there. Ain't no God there. Mama watches over her kids. She makes sure they get home on time. All right, I want to get to the end here. So much good stuff here. Abraham keeps the covenant. Isaac's born. They cut the foreskin of his flesh off. He keeps the covenant with God. It's a family journey. And then the great temptation comes. Oh, this is such good preaching. I'm wasting it. The great temptation comes. Abraham brings this boy up to Mount Moriah. Come here, Caleb. Come here, Brother Benatti. Can he make up these steps? Can he walk these steps? Come here, old man. Abraham, don't take this personal. Abraham at this time is at least 117 years old. At least. He might be 121. Isaac is at least 17, but he might be 21. And Isaac says to Abraham, I see the wood. I see the fire. But where's the lamb? And Abraham says to his strong, stout young boy, God will provide himself a lamb. Then Isaac puts the wood down. The Bible says Abraham builds an altar. And then all of a sudden Abraham comes around behind his boy. And he ties his hands. What are you doing, Dad? I'm sorry, son. That's what God told me to do. The Lord said to take you up here and offer you as a sacrifice. And he lays this boy down on the altar. And with his trembling hand, he raises up the knife. But here's my point. At any given time, this young man could have rebelled. At any given time, this young man could have said, I don't turn around and face it. I don't think so. Oh man, you're not taking my life. But see, Abraham taught his boy, it's a family journey. And everything we do together. And sometimes it's going to be good times, and sometimes it's going to be bad times. And I don't know what to tell you, son, except for the fact that God will provide. And when he pulled that knife, a voice spoke out of heaven, "Do thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, no harm." And he hears over in the bushes. And Abraham looks up and Isaac looks over. Oh my God. If we'll do this together, God will always provide. If we'll stay together as a family, whatever the sacrifice may be, whatever the hardship may be, if we'll stay together as a family, God will always provide. I'm going to skip to the very end. I just want to go to the end. This is how it ends. If a family stays together in this journey for God, this is how it ends. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. You know what happens when we take a journey together in Christ? We produce Jesus out from among us, and Jesus is able to save the world. If we'll build our family altars, I'm going to ask my family to come up, and I don't mean to spot them off, it's just I'm up here. I certainly don't put my family above your family. Don't ever feel that way. And I hope I've shown that in 25 years. 20 years. But I want to... Their family's not in church, but they will be. Every time they go to the altar, if they'll bring their whole family to that altar, this is a family altar. Lord, my mom and dad's here, even though they're not physically. My brothers are here, even though they're not physically. I bring them to this altar. It's a family journey. And if your family's not in church, please don't ever forget that. It's a family journey. Don't ever leave them behind. But if we'll stay together as a family, walk with God, build a family altar, live together with God, Kids, youngins, submit yourself to your moms and dad as long as it does not cross the moral code of Christ. Kids, young people, submit yourself to your mother and father as long as it does not cross the moral codes of Christ. That's what he asks of you. But everything else goes. In fact, you want to win your parents to God? Let them see how much of a difference Jesus Christ has really made in your life. Stop yelling at mom and dad. Do what they ask. Do your part of the house. Do the dishes. Take out the trash. Mow the grass. I don't care if you think they're being overbearing. It doesn't matter. Be obedient to the laying down on an altar. And God will save your family. Well, the Kyle family is going to make a promise to this church. We all pray, but we're going to have a family altar that we're going to maintain. Don't go overboard. You won't keep it. Don't say, we're going to pray for 3 hours tonight. Get in here, family. And we're going to pray for 3 hours every night for 2 years. Yeah, you meant 2 days. It ain't going to happen. So be realistic. Just takes a few minutes. And if God steps in and takes over, hey, that's awesome. Then you stay 15, 20, 30 minutes, an hour, however long God does. But if it's just family time and family prayer in a few minutes, let them go about their way. It'll change their life forever. And it will create bonds. Every member of your family. This guy's dangerous right here. It'll create a bond that no matter how far they go out, there'll be that attachment. I know a dad, I don't do this, made me feel guilty. I know you're standing, I'm sorry. A couple more minutes. I know a dad, no matter where he was, to this day he does this. His kids are grown and married, to this day he does this. No matter where they're at, every night before he goes to bed, he calls. And he prays with them on the phone. And if he doesn't get them, he leaves a message. That's amazing. To this day. Now they're going to miss that old man when he dies. They're going to sit by that phone. Oh, wish dad call one more time. Hey, there's nothing like family. Listen, family can hurt you more than anything else. But family's the only thing that can bring you real peace and joy and love. So fall in love with your family. Even if that means you have to start over with your spouse. And that's where your family starts. Then let that be where your family starts. I'm not trying to figure out all the variables. I'm just telling you, family matters. So I want you to get your family by the hand. We're going to hold hands as family groups. And we're going to make a promise. We're going to baptize the gentleman that we prayed for. We're going to baptize him in Jesus' name in a little bit. Anyone else who's never been baptized in the name of Jesus, we got a hot tub right out there, that door. We're going to baptize you. We'd love to do it. You haven't got the Holy Ghost, you'll come out of the water talking in tongues. And you'll be a part of God's family. I didn't preach on that today, but you'll be a part of God's family. You ready? Let's pray. Let's pray together. Father, we come together right now as families before you. Pentecostals of the Palm Beaches stand in your presence. And to the best of our abilities, we make this commitment. We are going to build family altars. And Lord, with your help, because I know we're not perfect and I know we're not going to do everything just right, but with your help, we're going to try to spend a little time together every day, or at least as often as we possibly can.
Lord, before you for a few minutes, 2 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 minutes.